Can cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus. I trust in you.
Greetings, saints. The Lord bless you and keep you in His loving will. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask your grace today, Lord. We ask your grace to get a very, very important message, one of the most important messages across to your precious people, Lord. And we're asking your mercy tonight, your grace tonight. Lord, your good news is the very best. And it saddens me to know that so many of your people don't have the revelation of the good news. We think that that's a basic, that that's a foundation. But not these days, Lord. It's just, it is a basic that people do need desperately, Lord, to know that you've provided all things for them. It's already done. It's finished. Lord, we're just asking for your mercy today, Lord, to get this revelation across, to fill your people's heart with faith and boldness, to be able to apprehend everything that you have provided for them. In the name of Jesus, Father, thank you. Thank you. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this precious word. You know, in Romans 1 and 16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The power of God unto salvation. Why do so many of God's people not have any power? Well, because they are ashamed of the good news. The good news is a powerful revelation that when we exercise faith in it, God imparts His power to us to save in all things. Notice that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Salvation in the scriptures is general, in the New Testament is generally the word soteria, and the noun, and sozo is the verb. And it actually means, has a wonderful meaning of deliverance and salvation, as you know, preservation, healing, provision. God has provided our every need according to His riches and glory in the Scriptures. Many people limit salvation to such a very narrow band of revelation, but it's very, very big. We asked a local man who was a Greek, you know, what soteria meant to him, and he said, it means all of my needs supplied, like a little baby. And I've never forgotten that. And as I researched the scriptures, I found out that's exactly what it means, all of our needs supplied. Well, it is to the believers. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Not necessarily to the what we loosely call Christians, but to the believers. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed a righteousness, because we're accounted righteous by our faith. You know, the people who walk by faith are the ones who are justified in the New Testament. For therein is revealed a righteousness. Accounted righteous means justified, right? Of God, from faith unto faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live. Literally it says, from faith. The righteous shall live from faith. God puts a high premium on people who believe His word and act upon it. You know, faith without works is dead, and I will show you my faith by my works. People who act on what the word says will see results. They will receive power from God. And again, this word salvation is very broad. I want to study that today so we can see that the good news, the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, that the gospel, the good news, provides us everything we need. Everything we need. I'd like to go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. But my righteous one shall live literally from faith. The numerics proves that that's the word that belongs there, the numeric pattern. Shall live from faith. Our life comes from faith. Our spiritual, heavenly life comes from faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, that is, destruction. Everyone who shrinks back from the walk of faith is being destroyed. They're in the midst of destruction. They're under the curse. All things which faith delivers us from. But of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul. Now, you know, when you first get saved, it's not your soul that's saved, it's your spirit that's saved. And you bear fruit in your soul as you continue to walk after the Spirit. And so he says, unto the saving of the soul. Walking by faith brings us the manifestation of God's salvation in our soul, which is our mind, our will, our emotions. And having them in tune with Jesus Christ is what the salvation is all about. It says, now faith is the assurance of the thing hoped for and a conviction of things not seen. So, some versions say the substance of things hoped for, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The good news, the really good news, the gospel, which is the power of God to save you in every circumstance, in every situation, comes because of faith. You believe that you've already received these things. That's what I want to prove to you today. I want to encourage you that you don't have to talk God into anything. He's already made provision for you. It's a free gift. He puts it in your hand. He gave it to you 2,000 years ago, and he will not take it back. You can give it up by not walking by faith, but he won't take it back. Okay? Conviction of things not seen. It's the substance of the thing hoped for. Our faith stands in as substance of the thing that we need. And the thing that we need in every circumstance is salvation. I'm going to prove that to you, because many of you have a very narrow idea of what salvation is. Verse 2, for therein the elders had witness borne unto them. By faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen hath not been made out of things which appear. The word of God has framed the world by the faith of God. God himself creates through faith. And if we are going to be a son of God, we have to do the same thing. Our words will bring forth the creating power of God through us into every situation, every circumstance. But we need to use the substance of the thing hoped for, and that's our faith. We need to give God the substance if we want the thing hoped for. See? Because without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto him. And Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. And as you have believed, so shall it be unto you. He constantly made faith the requirement. And now we see that the things that God is creating are not made out of things which appear in this world. In other words, the things that are made by man. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. The kingdom of God is the spiritual kingdom that God is building, and he's only building it by faith. The works of man could not be heard in God's temple. The temple that he's building, of course, is his people. No tool could be heard in there. And that's a symbol of the works of man cannot build this. And we know also that, according to chapter 12, here that all those things are going to pass away. Verse 27, yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that have been made, that those things which are not shaken may remain. Things that have been made by man will be shaken. The works of man, the religions of man, the organizations of man, all these things will be shaken. But one thing will be left, and that is the things that were created through faith. We, like God, learn to call the things that be not as though they were. And our faith has the power to create all of our needs. And verse 28 says, "Wherefore receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire." One thing he loves to consume is the flesh of the beast on the altar, right? He loves to consume that. And we need to cooperate with him in that. One way we can cooperate is by believing the good news. And I'm going to share that with you too. But I want to share with you a revelation in Ephesians 2 and 8. Just how great and broad this salvation is. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, "For by grace..." Now, we know grace. Most of you have considered grace as something that is unmerited, unearned. It is a free gift. You can't work for it. It can only come by faith. And that's what it says here. "For by grace have you been saved through faith." And some versions say, "Are you saved?" But the Numeric and the Nestle's text, which is the three ancient manuscripts, they say, for instance, "Have you been saved?" And because it was accomplished at the cross. And "saved" here is the word sozo. It's the verb of the noun soteria. Remember, we've discovered how much salvation covered. Well, this word here, "saved," covers all of that too. Everything, all of your needs supplied. And they were all supplied at the cross. That's what salvation is. Many people think that salvation is only the salvation of your spirit. But no, we're going to see that it is also of your soul and of your body and of your circumstances, and all of your needs are met completely. "For by grace have you been saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory." There it is again. Man's works are not going to be preserved through this time. Your works will fail you ultimately. We have a wilderness coming in which man's works won't preserve us, won't work. It'll have to be supernatural power of God out of heaven that meets the needs of God's people in the days to come. And so salvation in that form is not going to be by man. God's not going to permit it. He's not going to permit our flesh to save us in the days to come. It's going to be faith. And he said, "Not of works, that no man should glory, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." And of course, that's the works of the Lord, not the works of the flesh, right? So Ephesians 2 and 8, remember this. Remember this as we look at this word in other places in the Bible. That whatever salvation is, it's already been done. By grace have you been saved. And it's only going to come through faith. And so God wants us to believe something in order for us to have the manifestation of our salvation in our life. So if we look and see how this word "saved" is used, we'll know that whatever God is speaking about with this word, we know that it's already been given to us. That's what it says here, Ephesians 2 and 8. "By grace have you been saved through faith." Okay, so I'd like to go first to Luke chapter 7. And verse 50, or maybe 49, let me see. 48. Luke 7, 48. "And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven." Obviously, he's talking about salvation of her spirit here, huh? "And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that even forgiveth sins? And he said unto the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." Thy faith has saved thee. Now, this is the common understanding of what salvation is all about. And it used the word "saved" here for the word "sozo," which we saw in Ephesians 2 and 8. "By grace have you been sozo through faith." So, we see here that our sozo in this case, what was saved, was already provided. Now, this you know, but I'm going to apply this to other things. This you know, that this salvation was already provided at the cross, wasn't it? See, some people say healing isn't a part of salvation, deliverance is not a part of salvation, and they go on and on and on with what's not a part of salvation. But all of that's a lie. And all of that's not scriptural at all. And that's what I'm going to prove to you today. So, we see that your sins being forgiven is, of course, the initial step of salvation, of receiving a new spirit from God. And it says, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Thy faith is what saves your, gives you the initial salvation, right? Before it bears fruit in the rest of your life, it gives you that initial salvation. And this is the word sozo. But sozo is also used in many other places. Like, for instance, Luke 8:43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, who had spent all her living upon physicians and could not be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately the issue of her blood stanched. And Jesus said, who is it that touched me? Well, that's very interesting. Who is it that touched me? And when all denied, Peter said, and they that were with him, Master, the multitudes press thee and crush thee. And Jesus said, someone did touch me, for I perceived that power had gone forth from me. Can you imagine? Here's the Son of God, and here's a woman in need that touched him by faith. One thing we can see here very plainly that God wants us to understand is that you don't have to talk Jesus into this. Why? Because it's already been provided. You don't have to convince him. Don't waste hours trying to get God to do something for you. You're deceived if you're doing that. Because before we get through tonight, you're going to see that God's already given these things unto you. Don't waste your time. Accept it by faith. Now, I'll read on. It says, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people for what cause she touched him, and how that she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And the word made thee whole here is obviously talking about a healing. A healing that Jesus didn't even know about until it had already happened because of this woman's faith. She touched him and he didn't know it. It wasn't a matter of him saying yes or no. It was a matter of her faith touching God. And the answer came because it's already been provided. It says, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. He said this constantly, thy faith hath made thee whole. See, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for God's faith? Don't wait. She didn't wait. She touched God by faith. She was healed. Hath made thee whole. The word there, made thee whole, is the word sozo. Remember, by grace have you been sozoed, saved through faith. By grace, have you been saved through faith? You've been healed. In this case, it's about a healing, right? So, by grace, by unmerited favor, have you been healed through faith? Because he's using the word sozo as a healing here, you see. Made whole is the translation, but it's the same word. It's the same word for Ephesians 2:8, sozo. And what does that tell you? It tells you that you can translate it the same way. See, and it also tells you in this text that sozo is a healing. Praise be to God. And so it's used this way quite often. I will take another example here. And we see here that healing is a part of salvation. Sozo is the word saved, and healing is a part of salvation. So don't forget that. Don't let people deceive you about that. It's a lie, what they're saying. Verse 36, and they that saw it told them how that he that was possessed with demons, this was the demoniac, right, with the legion of demons in him, right, how that he was possessed with demons was made whole, saved. You see, when you got demons, you need to be saved. That's the word right there. Sozo, same exact word. Everywhere else used as saved or made whole or whatever. Okay, same word. So by grace, have you been delivered through faith? Have you been delivered through faith? Ephesians 2 and 8. Because there, sozo is being used as a deliverance. A mighty deliverance. A powerful deliverance. One that the overwhelming majority of mankind doesn't need. Most people don't have legions of demons, right? Well, at any rate, we see that salvation has to do with deliverance too. Salvation is a deliverance. And then, in Matthew chapter 8, and I think maybe, let's see what verse that is. I'll start in verse 23. And when he was entered into a boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the boat was covered with waves. But he was asleep. Totally entered into the rest here. He wasn't worried about a thing. He knew he was in the Father's hands. You know, fear is one of the biggest destruction in our lives, folks. When we react to what we see or feel around us, we give the devil permission to execute the curse upon us, right? Because fear is faith. It's just faith in reverse, right? And so, a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Save, Lord, we perish. Again, there is the word sozo. But in this case, it was being saved from destruction. It probably included the idea of protection, you know. And they call that saved, sozo. The verb for salvation, soteria, right? Save, Lord, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose, and he rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Why are you fearful? In other words, why didn't you take care of this yourself, you know? Why are you fearful? Fearful did not permit them to partake of the benefit of God. Good thing Jesus woke up. You know, because by grace have you been saved through faith. They didn't have faith. They weren't appropriating the benefit of God, of His deliverance, His provision, His safety from destruction. They weren't appropriating this, you see, because they weren't exercising any faith. And Jesus woke up with His faith and saved the day. Thank God. You know, and there are obviously catch-all books like Mark 11 and 24 is an awesome revelation to most people. When they get this revelation and really start acting upon it, you have a miraculous life. But Mark 11, 24 is basically saying the same thing I've said so far. You know that salvation covers everything you need, that it's already been done. All of it's already been provided, okay? And Jesus is saying this in Mark 11, 24. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever. That covers it all, doesn't it? All things whatsoever. Most of the church doesn't believe this verse. They just jump right over it and ignore it. They've been taught to, because they don't believe the power of God is available to us today. And they don't believe the gospel. This is a revelation of the gospel, the real good news, okay? And it says, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them. Here it is again. By grace, have you been saved? Notice, what is he saying here? Believe that you received them. It's past tense. Well, received is the, again, the numeric proves that the word here is received, past tense. The Nestle's text also has received. In fact, even the Textus Receptus in the notes has received as Greek. So they didn't put it in their text, but they agreed that this is the Greek, even in the Textus Receptus. So the word is received, past tense. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. That's in the physical realm, right? You're supposed to be believing that you have received it. And notice, why is it that we're to believe we have received? Because Ephesians 2 and 8 says, by grace have you been saved. And saved covers everything that we need through faith. And here we have a complete agreement here. And he goes on to say also, which I think is very important, whensoever you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against anyone, that your Father who is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. So, all things whatsoever have been provided, because he tells you no matter what it is, you can believe you received it. And he tells you that because it was all provided at the cross. Turn around, look behind you. Most of you are looking in the wrong direction. You're looking forward. You're asking God, provide this, provide that. Meet this need. Heal me. Deliver me. Whatever. God says, read the word. You'll find out. I already did that. Don't waste a lot of time without faith. This is what faith is. Faith calls the things that be not as though they were, past tense. It's already been done, folks. Everything about salvation has been completed. If you're waiting for God to do it, you've got no faith, and you're not appropriating the promise. And that's why a lot of people aren't growing up in the Lord. Now, I want to ask you something. If you really believe that you received it all back there at the cross, think about this. This is a really good exercise. I do it. This is a really good exercise. If you really believe that you received it, what do you think you would say? What do you think you would do? What do you think your imagination would be like? In other words, practice meditating on what you would say, what you would do if, say, for instance, you believe you received already a healing, a deliverance, a provision, a protection. In other words, believing it's already yours. How would you act? What would your mouth be saying? What would your thoughts be doing? You see, faith without works is dead. Many times people say, oh, I believe, I received. But everything else about them is totally backwards to what they would be doing if they'd really believed. You see, their imagination has gone totally wild. Their imagination is imagining the things of the world, the curse, everything negative, and yet they're trying to believe they received. But a whole part of their being is warring with them, you see. Why? Because we are a kind of a schizophrenic being, you know, flesh and spirit. But we have the power to cast down vain imaginations, because if you're born again, you have that power. And so when we cast down these vain imaginations and we begin to speak in agreement with the fact that we've received and act and imagine that we've received, your imagination is very powerful. It's not just something that should be used for creation or creative, but we are creative beings, you know, and we've been made in the image of our Father, and our imagination is very powerful when mixed with our faith to do miracles. We'll talk about that some other day. But here's what I want you to remember about this. That believing you've received should take over your whole being, your mouth, your eyes, your feet, everything that you do should be in agreement with the fact that you've already received. If you're trying to apprehend, to go after, to buy salvation in any form, it's because you don't believe you've already received it. See, believing we've received causes us to cease from our own works so that God may do His. God didn't start His works until we cease from ours. Our works is what keeps God from doing His. He calls it the rest, that we are to enter into His rest. If you believe you've received, what do? Well, first thing you do is rest. You cease from struggling, striving after this thing that you need or want. You'd rest. You'd enter into the rest. He calls it the rest. That's our spiritual New Testament Sabbath. Ceasing from our works on His holy day. Okay. And well, another good example of this is 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 24, notice everything we've talked about so far is past tense. It's all in the past. And this is the really good news, folks. This is the thing that takes away all of your works, all of your efforts, all of your paycheck, many cases, you know, because it's not necessary. God's going to give it to you. Okay, verse 24 says, who his own self bare, there it is again, it's past tense, it's already accomplished, already finished, by grace have you been saved. Right? Bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness. And by whose stripes ye were healed. There it is again. Were healed. We just saw that over there. Sozo, you know. You were already healed at the cross. Salvation. By grace have you been healed. See, when you use sozo as a word that identifies healing, well, there here it is again. By whose stripes ye were healed. Okay. And so if we believe that we were healed, how are we going to react to the bad news that we hear around us? People walk by sight. You know, all the professional people walk by sight. That's the only thing. They don't know how to get a hold of the power of God unto salvation. They don't know that the gospel, the good news, that all this has been accomplished by Christ is the power of God to save you. They can't get a hold of that power because they walk by sight. They don't walk by faith. And they receive the bad news because they walk by physical sight, not the good news because they walk by faith. You see, there's a big difference. The spies that went into the promised land, two of them came out with the good news because they repeated what God said. And the rest of them came out with the bad news because of what they saw and what they felt and what they heard, you see. And the bad news people fell in the wilderness. The good news people lived all the way through it and entered into the promised land in their body. Into the promised land. That's very important. That's the gospel that we're talking about here. And I'd like also to look at Colossians chapter 1. And let's go to verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father who made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. Meet here means able. We can thank the Father that he made us able through his gift of faith that he's given unto us. You know, all have not faith. But he's given to each one of us, that is God's elect, the measure of faith, hadn't he? Okay, so he made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The saints in light means the saints who walk in light. We're able to partake of everything that the saints who walk in light are capable of partaking of, right? And he goes on to say, who delivered. It's past tense again. He delivered us out of the power of darkness. He already delivered us, folks. It's already accomplished. You know, when the devil tells you he's got you in bondage, remember, you are already delivered. Don't buy the lie. Accept the good news that sets free. The good news, which is the power of God to save. If you don't agree with the good news, God can't bring it to pass. People live under the curse all their life, thinking it's the normal Christian life. But the Lord delivered us. And he says here, who delivered us out of the power of darkness. You're not under the power of the devil. The devil deceives many people into believing that he has power over them, legal power over them. He doesn't have any power. All power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me, says the Lord. Go ye therefore. So he sent out his disciples to exercise that same authority over the devil's kingdom, right? Who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated, again, it's past tense, translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have our redemption. We already have it. Again, we have our redemption. What is redemption? Well, redemption is a word, apolutrosis, and it means a release on payment of a ransom. A ransom is paid when a person is being held captive, when they're in bondage. A ransom is paid to set them free. Well, this has already been done. The price has been paid for us to be set free from bondage to the devil, bondage to the flesh, bondage to the curse. It's already been paid by our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that you can't earn this? It's by grace. Have you been saved through faith? And that's not of yourself either. It's a gift of God. Not of your works as any man should boast. So, redemption, apolytrosis, we've been released from bondage. It's already been accomplished at the cross. And the forgiveness of our sins, praise be to God. And I'd also like to go to 2 Corinthians, because you know there's something even greater that we should know about ourselves there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "Wherefore we henceforth know no man after the flesh. Even though we have known Christ after the flesh, we now know him so no more." And why is that? Because after the flesh is like walking by sight, you know. We know people by faith. We know ourselves by faith. We know the people that we've prayed for by faith, right? Verse 17 says, "Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away," are passed away. They are gone. Everything that we have known ourselves as in the flesh is gone. We know no man after the flesh anymore. All that we've known about ourselves in the flesh is over. Notice what he says. He is a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. But all things are of God, who reconciled us unto himself. So everything has become new because of what Jesus did, the creator of the world. What he did at the cross, when he provided everything new for us. He provided our life, our deliverance, our healing, our provision, our protection, on and on and on and on and on. See? So we should see ourselves in the light of what the Bible says about us. And that is, all things are new. And we'll continue to prove this. But he says here, all things are of God who reconciled us. That's the word katalasso. He reconciled us. He made an exchange at the cross. He took all of our curse and gave us all of his blessing. He took all of our lack and gave us all of his provision. God supplied our every need according to his riches and glory, you know, at the cross. He gave us all of our need. He made an exchange at the cross. And what he gave to us is everything that we need. And what he took from us is everything that we don't want and can't enter the kingdom of God. And so, this has already been accomplished. All of it's been accomplished. Everything's been accomplished. This is the good news. This is the real good news. That we don't have to strive and struggle and fight for what God has given unto us. And the Lord says he's not reckoning unto them their trespasses, and that he has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We have the opportunity to share with other people that God has reconciled them to. And we give them this good news of reconciliation, and they become believers in what God has already accomplished for them. And then they can start having miracles too. Neat, huh? So, well, that's our ministry, folks. The Lord has called us to this ministry. And Galatians 2 and 20, I think, is an awesome revelation here. He says, "I have been crucified with Christ." Have been, there it is again, have been crucified. You don't have to worry about your old man anymore, folks. People talk so much about we have to walk in the crucified life. We have to be crucified. We have to do this. We have to do that. Think more about like this. You've already been crucified. The old you doesn't live anymore. Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God, because at the cross it was accomplished. Now, if you exercise faith in that, the Lord will bring it to pass. He will bring your crucifixion to pass. If you don't, you'll be trying to pick yourself up by your bootstraps, and you'll constantly fail. You'll fall short of the glory of God. And I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. Wow. Since you're dead and he lives, the reconciliation was accomplished at the cross, the exchange. You were crucified. Christ is now given to you as the gift of God. He is manifesting in you through your faith in this promise. You enter into the rest of your works, resting from your own works, because you believe this promise. He that hath believed doth enter into that rest, the Bible says. You're entering into rest. God's giving you the promise. The land of rest, by the way, is where it was also called the promised land. Because when you enter into the rest, that's where the promises are fulfilled. See? Now, he's given us the real good news here. That we've been crucified with Christ. We don't live anymore. He lives in us. And we're justified by faith in this. You know, the Bible says in chapter 16, verse 16 here, we believed on Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ. And also, justified means accounted righteous. When you believe these promises that are contrary to your senses, contrary to your eyes, contrary to the things around you, that's when God says you're righteous. Otherwise, you're seeking to be justified by the law. You know what that is? Self-works. And by the justification of the law, nobody will be justified. Chapter 3 and verse 6 says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness." In other words, he was justified. He believed God, and he was reckoned righteous. So when we believe the good news, we're reckoned righteous, and we get this benefit because we are righteous. See? It's unearned favor of God, right? Well, Galatians 3 and 13 tells us. I'm going to back up one. Let's see. Verse 11. "Now that no man is justified by the law," which is self-works, right, "before God is evident. For the righteous shall live from faith." Our life is going to proceed from the gift of faith which God has given unto us. See? It's not that many saints don't have faith. It's that they don't know how to exercise it. Or they don't know what it is. Or they don't know that it's demanded. They don't know that it's important. Well, as you can see, it's very important. And verse 12, "And the law is not of faith. But he that doeth them shall live in them." In other words, if you're going to try to do it by your own works, by the works of the law, then have at it. But God's not going to be in it. Verse 13, "Christ redeemed us." The redeemed, again, is past tense. He redeemed us. Extragorazo. And it means to buy out or to purchase a slave with a mind to set him free. Purchase a slave to set him free. What are we slaves of? Again, we're slaves of the curse. We're slaves of the devil. We're slaves of the flesh. We're slaves of our circumstances. And the Lord redeemed us. He set us free from that. Do we believe it? Well, if you do, you're accounted righteous. And if you do, then that's the power of God unto salvation. You see, then God will bring it to pass for you. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse of the law, Deuteronomy 28, is just everything that happened contrary to man's well-being because he was in rebellion against God's will. "And having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." Wow. "That upon the Gentiles also might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Glory be to God. And 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy begat us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from death." Begat us again. Born again. Born again. Well, you say that's we all got that. No. Born again is much deeper, much broader than just accepting Jesus as your Savior and receiving a new spirit. Because he says in this chapter, by the way, unto us, verse 5, "unto a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time." And a little bit further down, verse 9, he says, "receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul." Not the beginning of your faith. The beginning of your faith is the salvation of your spirit. You are born again at the cross, spirit, soul, and body. For instance, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, it says, again, when you see the word seeing like this in the scriptures, it's talking about seeing something by faith, accepting something by faith, right? The verse before it says, so that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing that you have purified your faith, purified your souls in your obedience to the truth, unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently. Having been begotten, remember he begat us again unto a living, having been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God. Corruptible seed. So, born again. Here's born again of soul. Now we're going to have a born again body. Those who walk in bearing the fruit of a born again soul, 30, 60, and 100 fold, will also have a born again body. But notice, your soul is purified through your obedience to the truth. How do you get obedience? You get obedience by giving faith to God, because then he gives you grace. Grace to obey. And it's his works. For in Christ Jesus were you created for good works. See, it's his works, not your works. If it's your works, it doesn't get you anywhere, right? Salvation is not by your works, it's by his works, right? And Hebrews chapter 10, I like very much Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 10 says, by which will we have been sanctified. Sanctified means set apart from sin, set apart from the curse, set apart unto God, right? By which will we have been sanctified through the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. See, we without sanctification, no man shall see the Lord, the Bible says. And we are manifesting more and more as we walk in him our sanctification. But here he's telling us it's already been done at the cross. And then in verse 14 he says, for by one offering he hath perfected, there it is again, hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He perfected you at the cross. Now some people say perfection is not possible. Well, they don't know what the Bible says, because we're not talking about our power, we're talking about God's power. He hath perfected us. You see? Salvation in every form has already been accomplished. And that's why Jesus said, everything that you can ask and believe for, believe you received it, and you shall have it. Wow! Think about that. That's an awesome promise, folks. Awesome promise. And especially like Ephesians 1 and chapter 3, excuse me, 1 and verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Past tense. He hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. He's blessed us with everything in Christ, which is where heavenly places are. Notice, in heavenly places in Christ. He has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And so, our faith is, of course, which justifies us, and our faith is what causes God to turn and empower us and to provide for us everything that we need. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. He chose us to be holy and without blemish. And this is the way to it. You know, because he's already provided this for us, we're to exercise faith for it. And 2 Peter 1 and 3 also is very good. 2 Peter 1 and 3 says, again, we're coming to this word seeing again, right? I want to go back to verse 2. Grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing, again, we're seeing by faith. We're seeing with our eyes of the Spirit here, not the eyes of the flesh. Seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things. Hath granted. You have to see that it's been done. This is the good news. This is the gospel. You have to see that it's been done. Use your imagination. See that it's been done. Confess that it's been done. Thank God that it's been done. This is the gospel that saves. The other gospel is not the real gospel. Hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his glory and virtue. Without knowledge, You won't do this, folks. You have to know what we're looking at right now. This is knowledge. How do you know what to exercise faith in without knowledge? You have to know what's been given unto you so you know how to exercise faith. It's so that you can know how to believe God, you know. And can you do that? Can you exercise doing that? Can you practice doing that? Seeing that God has already given unto you everything you need. That's the real gospel. That's why it's called the good news. And it is, the good news is the power of God to save everyone that believes it. Wow. This is why living by faith is so important. Everything that you need from God has already been provided. You don't have to beg Him. And you won't be heard for your much speaking, Jesus said. Many people think a simple prayer is not enough. Well, if you have faith, it is. I mean, there is the prayer of importunity. When you don't have any faith, you pray and you pray and you pray until God gives you the faith, and then you can receive, right? But there's the prayer of faith, which calls the things that be not as though they were. Faith is the substance of the thing hoped for while there's no evidence seen. You believe you've received. That's what faith is, believing you've received. And God says, for that, you are righteous. He wants to see people who have faith. He was discouraged with the people who didn't have any faith in the wilderness. How long will this people not believe in me? He even said He was going to wipe them out and make of Moses another people. Well, I want to read down a little bit further here. It says, through the knowledge of Him that called us by His own glory and virtue, whereby He hath granted unto us His precious exceeding great promises. Hath granted unto us His precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that's in the world by lust. You know, these divine promises are for the purpose of giving us the divine nature of God and causing us to escape the corrupt old nature of the old man. And you're a righteous person, so God will do it for you. Why are you righteous? Because you believe what it says right here, right? You believe what it says. And I like what the Lord said in John chapter 12. Turn there with me. I hope you all are turning because this is good. You find these places, you can mark them. And John 12 and verse 31. You think you got a problem, right? The devil made me do it. You remember Flip Wilson? Yeah. John 12 and 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Well, somebody say, well, Jesus made a mistake there. He's still around. I know it. I talked to him this morning. No, the devil was cast out. His power was broken at the cross. That's why he said now, because it was happening right there. He was conquered. Don't worry, folks. Your enemies have been destroyed by the cross. And we also have chapter 16 and verse 33, which gives us the idea. It says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Now, maybe you understand that he actually did do that. He actually overcame the whole wide world. Everything in our life that's contrary to godliness, He took care of it already. He conquered the devil, the world, the flesh, everything. He took care of it. And 19 and 30 says, Jesus said when He was on the cross, He said, it is finished. It is finished. Glory be to God, folks. It is finished. He finished it all. He conquered everything. He provided all. All of our needs supplied, like a little baby, soteria. It's been taken care of. Now you know why Paul said in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply your every need according to His riches in glory. Why? Because He's already provided it. He's already given it to you. It's yours. So He's not going to withhold it from you. All you have to do is go to Him by faith, believing you have received. God bless you, saints. I hope this is sinking in. And I hope you have a miraculous life because you believe and accept the gospel. God bless you and good day.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com.
You can cleanse my guilt and pride.
Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
You can quench my thirsting soul. Pure as water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, oh Jesus, I trust in you, I trust in you, I trust in you.
Trust.